welcome to Legit Vat. This is a weird show because it's noon on a Sunday and we're hanging a bit, says Jen.
I don't feel that great.
I started drinking again, so maybe I'll feel better soon.
Can I steal your beer?
Oh, yeah.
Another one? Yeah.
Make sure you crack it right in front of the mic. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, we have Charlie Robinson on today, back again, probably the most returningest guest we've ever had. I think he's been on the show, I don't know, six times or something. Right? I don't know. Yeah, I can't math right now. But Charlie Robinson, aka the Great White Hope, welcome back to the Bat, sir. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back on the Bat with two hungover bats.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, it does.
It actually hasn't happened in a while. We stopped drinking during the week, which, I mean, it's a victory for somebody who is an alcoholic, but, you know, because I'm too old now. I can't feel like shit every day at work. I wake up and I'm like, fuck, not again.
I bartended after college for 8 years. I had other jobs, but I always kept the bartending job, and I didn't drink at all. The first year I drank, and then after that I quit. And so then the final 7 years I bartended as a sober person. And
dude, that's gonna be annoying as shit.
I'll tell you what though, what's nice about it is that I have a pretty good memory. Like I remember all the shenanigans that went down. I could see things developing that other people weren't watching. You know, I could feel a fight getting ready to break out in the bar and all these things. I was way more aware of what was going on. And if we'd go out, you know, afterwards or, you know, go out to places during the week, people would be like, the next day they'd ask me, what did we do? What happened? What did I do? What did, you know, who's that chick? You know, who is that? And I was like the human video camera. Like I just remember, I could see everything. And that was because I was sober.
Yeah.
I drink a little bit now. I don't, but I'm like, I can't go. I can't drink a bunch. I might have a couple beers but I'm too old for that shit.
I know. That's what I'm feeling. That's why we were like, we got to take a break or something. And it was amazing. Like sober people might actually have, you know, an idea of what they're doing. I don't know. We just stuck to the cannabis, you know, for a couple days there, and that's way so much better. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I know this is like it goes against like all DARE programs or whatever, but you should most definitely be smoking weed instead of drinking alcohol.
Yeah, they should be like promoting that in schools. Like, don't do drugs. Just do the right ones. You know,
of course, I have a problem with them just saying drugs and then putting all of these things in this category, and then leaving all these obvious drugs out of the category. They're like, oh, these are drugs. Like, what about alcohol? Well, that's different. How? How's it any different? I mean, I've made the dumbest things I've ever done. I've done on alcohol.
Yeah,
I mean 100%.
Or not.
I mean the other stuff, like, you know. So it's like, well, what is a drug? What's classified? Like, then you get into the drug schedule. Have you seen the drug schedule? Talk about not making any sense. They have Schedule 2 drugs that are classified for no medicinal purposes at all. And you go, oh, okay, so it can't be used as a medicine at all. And you're like, okay, well, what's in that? And it's like marijuana. And you're like, wait a second. How the fuck can you have recreational and medical marijuana and then call it a schedule and say that it's on Schedule 2 and that it has no medicinal value? Like, then explain all the medical cannabis facilities around here. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, it's the dumb thing too is that they put a Schedule 1 is like, you know, methamphetamine, that kind of shit, the stuff, the really fun ones, that's Schedule 1. But they put acid in there too, and like mushrooms. I think mushrooms are Schedule 1, but that's retarded. They're two totally different fucking things. Like heroin, no medicinal value, really, because that's in a lot of fucking pharmaceuticals. So they take that out of heroin. Like they make it out of heroin.
Okay.
How's that? But I'm straight heroin.
I'm pulling this up right now just so I have it. Okay. So
you want to share it?
Schedule 2. Okay. Schedule one, drugs. Substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Heroin, LSD, marijuana, ecstasy, peyote, and okay, like first of all, the whole list is wrong. There, okay, no medical use, and you have marijuana on here when you can go. I lived in California for a long time, but now I live in Colorado, as you know, because we saw each other. You can go to a legal recreational weed store, and then that's broken up into two categories, medical and recreational. And if you're in the medical one, you can get like super duper high dosages of things. If you're in the recreational one, you can only get like 100 milligrams of if you get like a chocolate bar, it's 100 milligrams, and each one's broken into 10s. So right off the bat, it contradicts itself by saying there's no accepted medical use, and yet you have medical designations in at least half the states in the country. So it doesn't make any sense.
Well, isn't that like state versus federal, though? Because the federal scheduling is Schedule One. And then so everybody's talking about like, when will it get federally legalized marijuana? I don't know if we even want that. Do you want the feds regulating your weed? It's bad enough having the states regulate your weed. I think weed... a lot of people talk about it being weaponized. Like, it's so fucking strong now. This isn't the weed people were smoking in the 60s and going to watch, you know, the Beatles and shit. No, this is a hairy alien weed. It's, I can't even handle it. Like, I have to take a couple tokes off a vape pen and call it good. If I were to actually smoke a joint of the stuff they have now, I would just be in the fetal position in the kitchen. Like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. I've done that before. It's no good. It's no good. But and now in Denver, where I am, mushrooms are decriminalized.
Yeah.
So I talk about, because when you're dealing with illegal drugs and drug laws, what you really want is a really big gray area, right?
Yeah.
It's like illegal, you go to prison forever, federally, state, it's legal. And then it's like, then it's also decriminalized. You're like, now what do I do? So can I?
It depends on the cop you get.
Can I have it? Well, we're not going to do anything to you. Okay. Am I free to leave? Like, am I being detained? You know, like, so the whole thing is dumb. And like, and you just make all these gray areas where they can catch people, and then it just depends on how good your lawyer is.
Right. It just depends on the situation, which that's pretty fucked up. Like, it could be black or white, like, oh, you have this amount and then you go to jail or not, but it's not like that. And every fucking state is different, so you never know what you're getting into. It's the same with like flying with any of that stuff, because sometimes they're totally cool with it, other times you're gonna
go Russia other times you're gonna do 9 years.
Yeah,
it's retarded.
It's totally retarded. The whole thing is dumb. But luckily the politicians have it all figured out, so that's good.
Oh yeah, yeah. And we pay them very well to figure this shit out. So
yeah, what'd you think of Nancy Pelosi like going off to Taiwan and bringing her son with her and lining up deals? I mean, I guess the good news is, as far as we know, her son isn't smoking crack cocaine with prostitutes. But
as far as we know, I heard Monica Perez do a breakdown of the Taiwan trip, and she thinks it has more to do with, you know, commercial interests and all that stuff. But the weird thing is that it supposedly pissed off China. What do you think is going to come from that? Because is it just posturing? Are they just like, you know, saber rattling, or do they actually even care? Like, I don't think they'd care that some drunk ass went to Taiwan. They know who she is.
Yeah, I think they probably know she's grifting, but it sends a message that the United States, I mean, that's the highest ranking official that's been there in a quarter of a century. So that's kind of a big deal in the sense that it's unusual, and the timing is unusual, and the person that they chose is unusual. And we know it's about computer chips, because we just had her husband in the news for buying all of the stock in Nvidia and all that, and I mean, he was in the news for other things as well too, but And then we know that there's a bill where Congress has approved to give $52 billion to computer chip manufacturers. The problem is that so many of the chips that we depend on come from either China or Taiwan, that if we get in a situation where they're fighting with each other and nobody can get chips, we're really screwed. So what they're saying, my assumption is that Pelosi's saying to them, you guys might want to outsource some of that manufacturing to us in the event that you guys get into a bind with each other, because we're all going to be screwed if you don't move at least a facility or two or 10 to America. But that's speculation on my part, but it just has to do with computer chips. And then all of a sudden she's in the country that makes the most computer chips in the world. Like, that just seems like an easy dot to connect there. But
isn't it like 70% of their exports in Taiwan is microchips?
It's something like really, or it's something like 70% of the microchips come from Taiwan. I don't know. It's
something like that. Yeah.
And it's a huge number. It's like, and my buddy's in Taiwan right now too. And I'm accusing him of working with Nancy Pelosi, of course, but he's not. Yeah, just to clear the record, he's a buddy I went to college with who was born there. But I'm like, you better wrap up your business dealings there and get the fuck out in a hurry.
Yeah. I mean, I was hearing people talk about how hard Taiwan would be to like invade, I guess, because it's an island and it's got mountainous regions and shit. Like, tactically, it would be kind of a weird thing to try to invade. Not to mention, that would probably send some shockwaves if China actually did that. So all these people talking about, oh, China's going to invade Taiwan, or, you know, I don't think so. But what do you think the chances of that are? Like, it's all just fucking talk.
Well, I think that if China were in a situation where everything was good at home and they were just kind of plugging along like they have been for the last 20 years, that would have been more of a time to spark some sort of, you know, you'd have less distractions. But they've got their own problems, right? They've got a real estate crisis that's happening where a bunch of people have decided they're not paying they're not making their payments on their properties because the Evergrande situation in mainland China has gotten so crazy that the largest property developer there is on the verge of bankruptcy and some of their funds have gone bad. Now, I went to China for the Worldwide Property Show years ago. I was doing sales for a high rise in Las Vegas that was going to have a very Asian theme to it. So I said, well, we got to go partner up. We have to make some deals and find some partners in China and Hong Kong. If we're going to sell this Asian theme casino or condo building that's right next to the Palms, and if we're going to sell it to Asian buyers, let's go to Asia and find the buyers. Let's find the brokers. And that's what we did. So I went to one of these Worldwide Property shows where they have all the stuff that they're building. And it is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Because I'm there like, oh, we're going to build this one building. And the guy from Evergrande is like, well, let me show you the project that we've got going on in the Hunan province. I'm like, okay. And they show it and I'm like, how many buildings are you guys building? They're like, well, we're just going to build all 45 of them at once. I was like, what? They're like, all of them were bigger than the one that I had. And we were so proud of our building. It was going to be this great one. This dude was talking about like, they're going to just start all 45 of them. And I was like, do you guys do pre-sales? They're like, yeah, of course. I was like, do you get them all sold out before you start building them? It's like, sometimes. I'm like, oh my God. So everything is just like on a massive scale. And you know, look, China's and that whole industry is falling. We you know about the ghost cities and all of that. I was talking to the guys that were building the ghost cities. I mean, it was crazy. And of course, I didn't know they were going to be ghost cities. As far as I was concerned, I mean, the sales guy I was just chatting with, he was under the impression that it was all going to be sold out. This was a while ago and it probably was sold out, but
the guys building it know they were ghost cities, or were they planning, were they building them thinking they were selling them?
They were, I don't know. I mean, they didn't end up filling them up at all. So, it took years before they did. I mean, they weren't building them the ghost cities for sure were not being built with buyers in advance, because other, because the buyers would have moved right in as soon as they were closed. And that wasn't the case. But the guys I was talking to, they were building, I mean, Evergrande's building everywhere there. And also the guys from Emar were, and Nikhil, the United Arab Emirates guys, they were there too. It's pitching the world, which was that island chain, the man-made islands that they were making. They're dredging up and building these islands and then building luxury homes on these islands. But then the islands were all in the shape of the world with different continents. And they were like, you guys,
yeah, there's awesome, like, on Google Maps.
It's Google, they're like, yeah, it's like there's like you know, like 18 islands that make up Australia. And they're like, well, you guys have buyers for that? We're like, oh, we had a guy come in, he said, I'll take all of Australia. I'm like calculating the commissions in my brain. I'm like, oh, you know, so China's got big problems in the real estate market. They've got big problems in the supply chain market. Like, do you invade Taiwan now when you're right in the middle of like a huge real estate collapse? You're trying to implement a social credit system and you've got COVID lockdowns and all this stuff. Like, it seems like it would be bad timing, but it seems like it would be a good distraction if you're the Biden administration. And I mean, can you imagine? I don't like the idea of any war, but could you imagine the idea of a war being led by Joe Biden, a brand new war, like in China? And Joe Biden's like, we're gonna go do the thing in the place. And you're like, holy shit, we're all going to die, aren't we?
China.
I had a China drop in there. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough, any war, like you're saying, but like somebody like Biden, I mean, I don't think he's actually in control of anything anyway.
Right. So then you go, ooh, the Biden puppet is in charge. Who's pulling the strings? And you're like, well, probably the military industrial complex, of course, because they're going to make a gajillion dollars off this. Jealous off of what Big Pharma's been doing.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, the scam they've been running, they said, well, hang on a second. Before this empire completely falls apart, we want one more big payday. Maybe we'll fake a war with China. Maybe we'll actually start a war with China. Great idea for total annihilation.
It does seem to have pivoted away from Ukraine and Russia. What do you have any news on that whole situation? Because it seems to have died down a little bit.
Did you see North Korea offered volunteers?
Yeah, I saw that. Like that, I'm sure Putin was like, that's very generous of you, but with all due respect, a bunch of 110 pound soldiers, not gonna do much.
Shitty haircuts.
Those Ukrainian Azov guys like start punching these North Korea guys, like punch their heads right off, you know. The Ukrainian super soldiers versus the North Koreans that eat once a week. Yeah, the whole thing, look, from what I've been reading and the people that I've been listening to, like Gonzalo Lira, who's a Chilean journalist in Ukraine who's been living there, he's talking about what he sees, his side of the war. Russia is just slowly and methodically strangling Ukraine, in just squeezing them. And taking that whole southern coastal side, it's no good. This is a losing war for Ukraine, of course. And we never, I don't think anyone that understands how to read the newspaper the real way, you know, like read through all the bullshit. Anyone that knows how to read that, we go, oh, Ukraine's gonna get their asses kicked in this one. Because you could tell, because all of the journalists were writing about how Ukraine is so much better and they're dominating them and they're doing this. And then there's the ghost of Ukraine. And you see all these like blustery stories and then these like obvious fake stories, the ghost of Ukraine and the hot Ukrainian swimsuit model who's got her AK out there and she's getting, you're just like reading this and you're going like, this is the sort of stuff that this is low budget propaganda. Like this is junior varsity team level propaganda that you're working with here. And these stories,
who's doing this?
it just seemed like, and there's like, oh, Russia has no chance against this. It's like, do you guys remember World War One and World War Two? Like, the Russians are the meanest, toughest people on the fucking planet. They're, and you're like, oh yeah, Ukraine's gonna stomp these dumb Russians, and it's like,
yeah,
man, I'm sorry, that is inaccurate. The Russia is the one that gave up 20 million people in World War Two. And still kept coming and still kept and held out in Stalingrad for 2 years during that winter, and when the Nazis had them encircled, and stayed alive and kept fighting and finally froze the Germans out there. Like, the Russians are no joke. So when you read these Western accounts of like, oh, it's just going to be a cakewalk in Ukraine, you just feel like either you're just a outright propagandist or you have no understanding of history, because the Russians, look, we America, we don't want any of that. I'm sorry, we don't want any of that, not with this woke army that we've got now. And also I would direct people back to an incident that happened about 8 years ago. I think, I want to say it was 2014, might have been a year or two above or below, but it was an incident in the Mediterranean where a United States destroyer was out there off the coast of, Lebanon somewhere, and got buzzed by a Russian fighter jet. I don't know why, but when that Russian fighter jet buzzed it, none of the electronics on the destroyer worked after that. It set off like a mini EMP and cut everything in that ship. And they wanted it to come by and do it a second time so they could record it to see what it was doing, but it didn't come back by. And so America went, oh shit, after that. Like, we don't even know what that was that did that. And it just, one of those fighters flew by and knocked out our whole ship. So I want, you know, so there's a lot of people like, well, we just send our troops into Ukraine to fight. No, we're not doing any of that. Like, this is a war. Like we got, let's be honest, man. Like, we've got our ass kicked by a bunch of flip-flop wearing farmers in Vietnam and a bunch of flip-flop wearing yak herders in Afghanistan. This is for $1 trillion a year in our military. I don't feel like we're getting our money's worth if we're losing to a bunch of, you know, guys with no education that are just coordinated guerrilla strikes or taking out our last two sort of major wars that we've been involved in. This is not a good sign. You don't want to go up against Russia. That's not like knocking out your last two opponents. Like, you know, and then you go, fine, bring on the big guy, I'm ready. Yeah. It's like, no, your last two fights that you lost, or they were draws or whatever, you know, but not exactly the momentum you need to go into a war with Russia or China. And these maniacs in the media, and you guys know how I feel about the media. Oh, these maniacs in the media are talking about this like, you know, listen, sometimes you just have to escalate things. And it's like, you very, very carelessly saying these things from the safety of BBC headquarters. But man, like, people die. Shit gets awful real fast, and we don't want any of that. And like, so if it's just really careless of people in the media to be talking about another war like it's no big deal. It's always a big deal, and if it's happening to you, it's the only thing that matters, you know.
Yeah, I wish I was like a fly on the wall in Russia to see what their media or their propaganda says about the US, because yes, I feel like it's exactly opposite. Like, we're almost in North Korea here in the States, where they're like, US is the best, we are the world superpower. And I don't think that's actually true. Like you were saying, Russia, I imagine there's the same thing. We are Russia, we are the best, we are the biggest power. And they might actually be right.
Right. I have heard that the difference between the two countries is that in Russia, they know they're getting propagandized to. And in America, yeah, they have no clue. So it's not like Russia tells the truth or whatever, but it's just that their people know better than to believe anything sort of state affiliated. And that being said, I must say that the only times I ever wind up on television is always on RT, Russia Today, you know. I've always they got rid of RT America here a couple months ago, but that channel was the best. It was the only news channel worth watching, because you would get it'd be like getting the news for a totally different planet, almost, like definitely a different country. They would talk about America in the RT America news, nightly news. They would talk about America and you'd be like, whoa, this is such a different perspective on us. And it wasn't wrong. It wasn't inaccurate. It was more accurate than our news, but it was fun to watch. And people go, oh, if you like RT, you're just a Russian apologist. Like, watch it. Like, they had Chris Hedges had a show on there. Lee Camp had a show. They had good shows and really interesting ideas. And they, of course, they have to get rid of that. But anytime you were on that show, it would say, and like that show, like would like broadcast or put my interviews up on their YouTube channel. Underneath it would say Russian state television. Like YouTube would put that little disclaimer there. It's like Russia state television. I was like, as opposed to what? CNN, America state television. Yeah, so stupid.
Yeah. I don't even know like how to talk to people anymore about this kind of stuff, because I think we talked about in the last show, it's one or the other now, where you have the people that are just lost and you can't get to them. And then you have the people that get it. There's very few in-betweenist people, you know, that are like kind of on the edge. Like at this point in 2022, if you're not looking at what's going on, you're probably just a lost cause. And that sucks. But I mean, what are you going to waste your time on these people?
It's funny because I've had to, my default setting is that I want to wake everybody up. You know, it's like, I don't want to give up on that person there because I want to kind of, but as we get closer and closer to this collapse scenario, I feel like it's probably a better strategy to prioritize our time differently now and say, I'm only going to, if you're willing to hear what I have to say, come on over. I'll tell you, you know, if you have questions, I'll answer your questions. I'll give you everything I've got. If you want to know about it,
right.
If you don't want to know about, or you want to argue with me, or you want to play devil's advocate, or you want to pretend like you, I just don't care to waste my time anymore with that. The priority is people that want to know more about it. I'll give you more information. If you guys still are denying reality, you're still trying to tell me that the media, the big pharma is objective and media is objective, and that these aren't state run institutions. And you want to explain to me that Don Lemon said something insightful last night. I'm not interested. My mom will do this. My mom is awake to all of this shit, but will still send me from time to time an article. You got to read this article, and I'll look at the domain on it, and it'll be from CNN. And I would be like, don't send me CNN articles. Don't read them. I don't read them. She'll be like, it's an interesting take on Pelosi. I'll be like, because it's a lie. I could write some interesting takes too. If I'm not, you know, controlled by having to be within the realm of the truth. Well, I could write all kinds of interesting stuff. So I'm with you. It's hard to know how to talk to people. And I'm specifically trying to avoid conflicts now.
Right.
And now, time for your friendly ad break.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Right.
Because the problem is I don't want to start the conflict, because if I get involved in the conflict, I have to win. Unfortunately, I have to just present my case and dominate. Because if you want to argue with me about 9/11 and you want to tell me 19 Arab hijackers did that, that's fine. You better have your story straight, because I'm coming all the way with everything I've got. You know what I mean? Because if you want to do that, then prepare to get into a battle to the death on who's got the information on this shit. Because, but I don't, I stay away from that. I try not to even have that conversation, but
that's because like you said, it takes too much time. And if you're going for the neck, you know, it is this person willing to sit there for like 2 hours and have you trace back the history of the CIA? Exactly. Like,
right. And nobody wants that. Like, that person isn't going to be willing. They're not receptive to it. You know, they're not interested in it. I found that, like, if you get somebody to ask you a question about it, you know, you get them to be like, or if you ask them a question, hey, what do you think about this China thing? And a lot of times they'll just be like, I don't know. I never even thought about it.
Yes.
First time I'm verbalizing anything about it. And then you get them to talk about things, and then you go, doesn't that sound kind of stupid to you? And they'll go, yeah, I guess it does. I never really thought of it. Sometimes you can make headway with people, you know, by asking them questions, but where I am now, it's like, I'm of the philosophy of like, you win all of the fights that you avoid. And I'm like, I'm going to avoid the debate on this one, because in the end, I'm just going to get all worked up. This person's never going to want to talk to me after I get done verbally abusing them in this one-sided diatribe that I'm about to go on. You're never going to listen to it anyway. You're going to be dug in even deeper against it because you just got yelled at for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's the other side of it too, is trying not to scare them away so much that they never come back and question it again.
And so I have done all of that. I've done all of the wrong things, and I have found that the best thing that I could do is if I want to introduce the subject, like if there's somebody that you think is receptive to it, the best thing that I've done is just make it a two-way street, like make it a conversation, a dialogue instead of a monologue, you know, like ask them questions and get them talking and get them thinking about it. And if you can do that, then sometimes the midway through them thinking about it, they'll realize that they haven't thought about it, and that actually their argument isn't really all that great. So sometimes you can make headway with it. But like, if somebody can't understand that Joe Biden is physically falling apart, I don't really know what I'm going to be able to do. Like, I can't really do anything. If we're at that point where you're looking at Joe Biden and you're going, he looks fine, he looks good to me, like, I don't really know what the big deal is. Well, I can argue my points, but I'm not that good.
Yeah. That's where you just give up too, where you're just like, and we talked about this again on the last show, where there's certain signs you can see in people where you're like, that's a losing battle. I'm not going to even touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like, let them live their life. Peace be with you. Go on your way, because I'm not going to even deal with that.
It's not worth it. You got to pick your battles. Not everyone's worth saving.
No, not at all. And when you're talking about how to approach some of the stuff, one of the best ways I found is to ask questions, because like you said, they don't know. So instead of being like, blah, 9/11, blah, all this stuff, just be like, what do you think about this? Did you know this? And to ask questions to them, they're like, what? No. And then you just peace out and go ahead. I know you'll be up at 11 o'clock tonight looking that shit up.
or you won't, you know, but if you're the kind of person, or if it's that time in your life where you just, you do decide, I'm going to check into this. I'm curious to know if there's anything to that crazy story that guy just told me. It sounds crazy, but he actually made it sound like it was possible. And maybe I'm just going to go on to fact check and prove that he's wrong, and you accidentally prove that he was right, and you go, oh no, like that's a very important moment. And I think all of us that are in this line of work or whatever, whether I like in writing and doing podcasts or whatever, making documentaries, whatever you're into, like you had that moment where you decided to look into things a little bit more, and somebody gets, you know, you either get there or you don't, but you get there at your own speed. And so I think that I welcome anybody that is waking up to this stuff. I think it's fantastic. But I also I look at something like the last 2 years of what we've been going through with COVID and all this, and the emerging creeping into climate change hysteria and everything. And I also kind of look at people and go like, if you can't see that there's a problem going on here, like you guys need to kind of take some self inventory, like, cause there's some real obvious problems with these stories. And if you're not picking up on the COVID fraud and you're still wearing double masking in your car and everything, like, what are you doing? Why haven't you figured this out? Are you scared? Are you scared of what you might find out? If you are, that's fine. It's like a reasonable thing that it would change your world. But like, at what point do you have to like wake up to reality that like there's a huge scam going on with this COVID stuff, and it's impacting everybody and everything. And there's and still people that feel like it's not happening, and it's weird to me, you know. It's fascinating, but fuck, it's weird.
That's why it's such a curious. Yeah, that's why it's such a maze too, because the COVID thing leads into so many other things. And like we said, we don't have time to sit down for 2 hours with somebody and be like, no, this connects to this, connects to this, and then you just look like a crazy person anyway. So it's like, okay. But I had my mom is pretty believing of the whole Ukraine-Russia thing, which is weird because she totally saw through the whole COVID thing. That was the weirdest one to me, is that COVID happened and then the Ukraine thing happened. Some of the same people who were calling out COVID bought into the Ukraine thing. I'm not saying it's fake. I'm just saying it's fucking falsified to an extent. So when Bono went over there and did a fucking concert in the subway, like, I sent it to my mom. I'm like, does this not seem weird to you? Like, if Washington was getting nuked and somebody from another country came over and did a fucking concert for the president, wouldn't you think that's a little weird? And she's like, well, maybe it's just they're trying to show Putin their way of life is not going to be affected. I'm like, yeah, that's what's going to show Putin. Yeah, I'm sure he's really affected by that. I don't even know what to say, Mom. Sorry. Conversation over.
It is... I'm having the same situation. I'm having the same situation where I'm like, this is one of those, you know, like, don't touch me, don't touch me, in the back seat, the kids, don't touch me, he's, you know, and you're just like right there, and it's like, what do you think's gonna happen? These wars are manufactured, they're made to happen, you know. I like to, if at all possible, take the emotion out of it and just sort of pull back and go, okay, just for a second, compare this war to the other wars that we've had. Have you ever seen a case where only, like, we're not involved in the war? It's not America. We're not fighting this war. We're just watching a war.
Just sending billions over there. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a situation where you're only allowed to root for one side? like it is socially unacceptable to pick the other team. You're not even allowed to consider it. And then we cut off all the aid. We cut off all the our relations and all these private corporation, publicly traded, but still non-governmental private corporations pulling out of Russia all at once against their own best interest. Like, doesn't all of this seem really unusual and coordinated and strange?
And scripted. And I mean, everybody's saying the same shit. If you look at, I don't look at Twitter, but I've heard that a lot of the same things being said by a lot of different companies, almost like they were handed a little memo and like, this is what you tweet out today, you know?
Well, you're going to get on. If you want to be considered, you want to be in the good graces of the World Economic Forum and the ESG scores going forward, then we're going to need you to sometimes send a message. And you're going to sometimes have to take it in the balls. But we're going to need you to pull out of Russia to send the message. That's what we need. That's the BlackRock ESG World Economic Forum group saying to all these corporations that are now starting to understand that BlackRock and the Fed print all the money and then they give it in the form of loans to the corporations that they want to give it to. And the ones that they've said we're going to give it to are the ones that are participating in the ESG part. And part of the ESG isn't even so much that these corporations need to get on board with capping their not, you know, their environmental stuff. They just need to send the message that ESG is important and that's enough. And so we're seeing a coordinated pullout of Russia by all these corporations, like because Russia invaded Ukraine. Like, that doesn't make any sense. There's wars happening all over the place. Are we doing the same thing? No, we're just doing it with Russia. It's unlike anything we've ever seen. And it's so suspicious and bizarre that these corporations would act against their own self-interest that should rightly get them all sued by their shareholders for pulling out of these marketplaces. It's nutso.
Where do you see, have you heard anything new about the ESG thing? Cause I know it's constantly, I mean, in our community's news cycle and, you know, the different, I don't know what you'd say, the different bookmarks of the ESG, you can see where companies are falling in line with that. But where do you think that's going? Do you think that's even sustainable long term with businesses?
Well, they're going to be subsidized in a way by BlackRock, because BlackRock sent out a memo in 2020. I was talking to Clint Russell from Liberty Lockdown about this. He said that Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, who's in bed with the World Economic Forum and definitely a bad guy who has relationships to Epstein and all that. These guys are... he sent out a letter to all of these CEOs of all of these big ass companies all around the world saying, if you guys want us to buy your stock for our fund, which is $10 trillion and growing, biggest asset fund in the world, then you have to do the things that we're looking at favorably now, which is the ESG stuff. We're going to be watching to see how you comply with that. And if you comply with that, then we've got access to money for you and we've got access to preferred partnerships for you. And eventually what will really wind up happening is that the central bank digital currencies that are programmable will be programmed so that this universal basic income that gets pumped out to the plebs is only able to be spent at the companies that are on board with ESG. It'll only work for them. You're on board with it, stores open. You're not on board with ESG. Well, then now all those UBI, the freebies, like the welfare stipend that they'll get, the monthly universal basic income, it'll have limits set to it, just like food stamps do now, or you can't buy alcohol or tobacco with it. Just they're not allowed to take it for it, but it'll be digitally like that. And so if you're a company that's participating with ESG and in the good graces, you'll be one of the stores that's eligible for these dollars to be, these digital dollars to be spent. That's how it'll work. I mean, it's just going to be like positivity, positive motivation by the use of money, digital money, which costs them nothing to create. It's going to be one of the greatest scams ever.
So again, we had just talked about this, but the Internet of Things. So that, I mean, I would assume kind of ties into all that too, but I can't remember who was talking about it, but that the infrastructure isn't there and the finance, the money isn't there for people to have that kind of technology in their house, at least widespread. There's no way everyone's going to have a smart fridge or a smart oven or a smart toaster, you know, all this shit. Like, I think they jumped the gun a little bit on trying to implement all this stuff. So
I think so. Yeah. The push to green everything up, you know, electric cars and zero carbon and all this stuff. It's like, first of all, it's a dumb idea, and zero carbon will kill everything on the planet.
Right. Yeah.
But besides that, taking that out of the equation, we're not ready for it. The technology doesn't exist to warrant this. When they say, oh, well, by 2030, we're going to be all off of fossil fuels and all into electric cars, and there'll be no gas combustion engines.
Yeah. What's going to charge those cars?
It's like, listen, like California in the summer has a grid issues. Texas in the winter has an ice storm and they have grid issues. And you're talking about charging a 300 million electric cars all at the same time on a grid that can't handle it. Like, this is idiotic. It's retarded on its face, and we're not ready for that. But there's this push, this rush, and that's the World Economic Forum trying to break everything. It just build it back better, just totally collapse everything.
Yeah, if, to build back better, you got to destroy first.
you're going to be zero carbon. That push, or just even the transition to that, is enough to just destroy everything. Like,
that's such a weird one too. Like you said, if we had zero carbon, everything would die. Like the plants, that's what they crave. It's not Brondo, it's not electrolytes. They crave CO2. That's what they fucking eat, and then they shit out oxygen for us. So trying to reduce that is weird. Like, high carbon or high CO2, whatever, would green the planet. I heard somebody say, if you're worried about the planet, go run your diesel car outside just on idle all day. Like, feed those plants the CO2.
Yeah, it is, of course, it's because it's not about that. It's just the excuse that they picked. And they've talked about it for 50 years since the Club of Rome wrote that book in 1972, The Limits to Growth, where they explained how they were going to do this. And they were going to use this idea of global warming, and they were going to use that to create the pretext to get everybody on board with a climate agenda. And then that climate agenda would create a carbon component, a carbon tax component. And then the carbon taxes collected from that would be the funding mechanism for the one world government. It's like, I didn't write that. Crazy. I mean, it was written in 1972. They wrote it. That's what they want to do. And so it's like, when you...
What was that book called?
The Limits to Growth by the Club of Rome. And they spell it out in there. They say that we're going to create the pretext. We're going to create the idea of global warming, whether it's real or invented for this purpose, as the pretext to get everybody to come together and demand a one world government. It's crazy. I mean, it's ambitious, of course, but they've got that that invisible enemy again. You know, whether it's a virus or it's a terrorist, now it's carbon, it's always there, and you're going to need to give up your way of life, your freedoms, your privacy, your tax dollars. You're going to have to, for us to protect you from this invisible thing that we get to measure with our fake scientists and our phony satellite images and readouts that and our modeling that we can make say whatever we want it to say. We're going to be the ones in charge of all the information. We're going to tell you when you're supposed to be afraid, and then you're going to have to pay us taxes. And they go, oh, because you're going to take all that tax money and fix the problem? They go, what? What are you we never said we were going to fix the problem. We just said you were going to pay us taxes. And they go, oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, like, yes. To absolve us of our carbon sins? And they're like, yeah, basically. That's the scam.
Say three Hail Marys, $3,000 in taxes, and cross yourself four times. Yes.
Listen, the Catholic Church has been running that scam for hundreds of years. Works well. You give us money, we'll take care of it with the big guy.
Unfucking believable. So I know you have a kind of a pretty gloomy outlook on this. Where's Charlie's hope in this? I've heard your show. You might be unaware of this, but I've listened to your show a couple times, and you're pretty dark sometimes, dude. Where's your glimmer of hope? Like, give me something to hang on
to. Wait. So, first of all, I want to say, though, that your rants are so fucking funny.
Oh, they're gold.
And they make us laugh. You. They are sort of gloomy, but they're hilarious. So
thank you. Let me tell you where I do see some positives, because there are some positives. Trust in media is in the toilet. Okay, that's fantastic. We now know that the average person out there is starting to change their relationship with the mainstream media. And that is the greatest news for me, because I hate them. I despise the media. They're the enemy of humanity. They're so dishonest. And it would be one thing if they were just kind of that annoying person that, you know, that's just a big liar. But they're so dangerous. You know, and the lies they tell are so gigantic that it changes society. And so I hate the media. And the fact that people are waking up to how dirty they are, that's cause for tremendous optimism, I think. Because, you know, look, it's important that we understand that we're being lied to. Then you can start to take away some of your participation and all this stuff. The people that are the scariest are the ones that have it's never crossed their minds that maybe the nightly news is lying to them. You know, and so I guess I'm optimistic that there's more people waking up because of this. I mean, as bad as COVID was, or is, or, you know, I don't know. I guess we're still sort of in it.
They're trying.
The one upside to it has been that a lot of people have kind of woke up to what's going on. Like, pharmaceutical industry is not your friend. The media is clearly lying about a bunch of this stuff. Social media is suppressing truth. Video platforms are outright banning things, and then we find out months later that it's all true and that they would ban this. And then they're, you know, so COVID has caused people to ask questions.
And I think the censorship is kind of shooting itself in the foot too, because people are seeing that now too. When people get banned, and then, you know, 6 months later, like you said, it turns out to be true, then they're like, wait a minute. And that plays into the whole distrust of the mainstream media in general. But do you think that actually helps, or is it just the start of helping? Like, okay, we don't trust the media. Awesome. That's nothing new to us. But, like, does that help widespread? You know, how does that work out in the next year or two?
Well, it just means that I don't know exactly. And because it means that the government won't be able to tell the people how to feel. But the problem is, how are they going to feel? Like, are they going to be angry? Are they going to be, you know, who's going to get to them? Somebody's going to have to tell them, like, hey, this is what, glad you're awake to all these lies. I've got bad news for you. It's much worse than you think. And it doesn't, you know, the misconception is that it takes like 51% of the population to become awake and then everything will change. But the stats say, and I don't know where they get this number, but I've read this number multiple places, that it says that you only really need 3% of the population to be awake to what's going on. And that's enough to start a change that happens at a quick enough rate that people wake up relatively quickly. So 3% sounds doable, especially when you consider...
Might be there already.
I think so.
I mean, I feel like we should be. You know, but like if you watch the news and how they treat Biden, like the left news, you know, like MSNBC and everything, it's like you guys are pretending like he's fine, and it's really obvious that he's not, and it's just taking what's left of their credibility away every time someone watches that and they go, I just don't believe you guys anymore.
It's the emperor has no clothes.
Emperor has no clothes.
New clothes. Whatever. New clothes, no clothes.
It's funny you say that. The episode of Macroaggressions that's coming out on Wednesday is called The Empire Has No Clothes.
Nice. So. Well, I'll be sure to not title this one that then. I was going to, but now I won't.
The Empire Has No Clothes.
Charlie, thanks so much. I knew you had to get going. You got day zero, and we will come back on day zero at some point. It's just, it's been crazy around here. But yeah, next time I won't be hungover, I swear.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Tell everybody where they can find you if they don't fucking know already. And if you don't know who Charlie is and where to find him and you don't listen to him yet, go fucking do it. What's your problem? Anyway, tell us where to find you.
Oh. Macroaggressions in audio format wherever podcasts are served, in video format on Rockfin, Odyssey, Iconic, and band.video. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression, and the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com.
Perfect. And thanks, be sure to read his books too.
I always enjoy hanging out.
All right, love you, buddy. Have a great day. Tell Chris and Corey and everybody who said hi.
I will. Later.
All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to Legit Pet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.